Well, we're breaking into the satellites here at UNC Radio for our UNC New Year special. It's just about 11 o'clock Central Time, and in fact, we have someone who is with us from Chicago, right in the Central Time area, a wonderful old friend of ours. She's a theater critic in Chicago, one of the most respected theater critics in that town. She's Mary Sheng Barnage. We love her a lot. Mary, you there? Say hi to everybody.
Okay, hello everybody out in them there Colorado rocks. Okay, I'm calling from Chicago where it's about 5 minutes to 12, and we're going to be getting about a foot of snow. We got about 7 inches of snow, and then it's going to stop until morning and then start up again tomorrow.
Now, is this your first big snowstorm of the year?
First big one, though it got cold and started snowing kind of early this year. Most of the time you don't put away the shorts and the t-shirts until Thanksgiving, but it got cold a lot earlier this year, but this is the first big snow. Though it's not anything like the 2 or 3 feet we got back in 2011, knock on wood.
Well, Mayor, what are you up to these days? Where are you writing for, first of all?
Okay, I'm still a mercenary critic. I'm a freelance, that is.
Freelance?
I still review regularly for Windy City Times. I write feature stories for theaterinchicago.com, and then I do a lot of writing for a stage combat quarterly called Moulinet that also has a website called actionquarterly.com. The webmaster is a former stage manager turned international real estate consultant, but he's also the webmaster for a theatrical fight website. He once said that on an interview. They said, "What do you do in your spare time?" He says, "Well, okay, I manage a stage combat website."
Okay.
The interviewers didn't know what to say.
All right. Well, I know you're into that. You're into the whole stage combat thing and also the Renaissance Fair. That's sort of a sideline thing that you really enjoy.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Though lately I haven't been out to too many Renaissance Fairs. Okay. Somehow the idea of spending eight hours a day out in the summer sun doesn't sound like as much fun as it used to 15 years ago.
Actually, that was never fun for me, but for some people.
I'm older than you are, Davey.
Well, a little bit. Not that much. But have you been healthy? Things been good?
Things are going to get better. Next year I get Social Security, so in addition to the peanut shells that I'm getting paid now, the government will pay me a few more peanut shells.
Well, it's not quite my business, but I am really, really curious. If you are a freelancer, and you cobble together from all these different sources, how do you manage? With having to pay health insurance, having an apartment that you live, or you have a house, actually, right?
Yeah, she has a beautiful house.
Yeah. But I guess the mortgage, how do you manage?
By the skin of my teeth. Mm-hmm. By being thrifty. Mm-hmm. Okay, last year I qualified for Medicare. Before that, I had no insurance.
Whoa.
But an old-fashioned dentist who's been taking care of my teeth since we both got out of the Army.
Yeah.
You find ways around it. Okay, since I am not married, I'm not supporting a family. Okay, I don't have to go to a health club. Essentially, there are things that most people have to spend money on that I don't.
And actually, shouldn't you be getting, weren't you in the military at one point?
Yes.
So do you get anything from having done that?
No, not really. I went to graduate school on the GI Bill when I got out. But otherwise, I don't get a pension or anything. You have to be in for more than one hitch for that.
What about, and we've been talking about this for the past bunch of weeks, everybody has, now that Obamacare is, or ACA is the law, are you looking forward to it? Are you happy about it? Does it save, or is Medicare something else, and that then Obamacare is not necessary for you?
Medicare is something else. Okay, Medicare has been in place for a long time. So so now that I'm old enough to get it, it's a lot safer. It's a lot safer, okay, because they've had plenty of rehearsal time on it.
That's true.
Okay, with the affordable health care. Okay, it used to be the only people who called it Obamacare were the people who didn't like it.
Yeah, but then Obama owned the word, and everybody uses it now.
Okay. Oh, I know everybody uses it. Okay, I'm just picky about my words. You know that.
Of course. Yeah. That's why you're a critic.
Okay, but to all the people who are complaining about Obamacare, the bottom line on it is that a whole bunch of people who had no health insurance before, like myself, will now have health insurance.
Right. Well, I believe in that. Yeah.
Because, Davey, a few years back, you met Effie Mahopoulos.
Yes,
when you were in Chicago.
She was a critic and poet.
Effie died a few years ago, and if we had had government sponsored health care, she might not have.
Wow. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, you have to understand. Maybe you think that I do some kind of right wing radio program because I'm out in Colorado, but no, I'm pro ACA, and I'm for Colorado, I'm far left. For New York, I'm centrist, borderline right. But for Colorado, I'm you know, Abby Hoffman, for crying out loud. But,
okay, I'm not accusing you of anything, and I'm not accusing Colorado of anything. Okay, after all, okay, for about 9 months when I was early part of high school, junior high. I lived in Aurora.
And, I didn't know that.
Pardon?
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, my father had just retired from the Air Force, and he signed up with United Airlines. But but we spent 9 months in Aurora, Colorado, before moving to Illinois, where he worked at O'Hare Airport.
Wow!
So I have been in Colorado. I think my family used to own some land out in Georgetown.
I'm not sure where that is in relation to Greeley. I mean, I could look on a map, but we're about an hour north of Denver is where we are at the moment.
Okay. I know where Greeley is. Okay, even though people on the west coast think that all of the Midwest is Chicago, the same way that the folks here in Chicago think California consists of San Francisco and Los Angeles. Okay, and look at me in disbelief when I tell them about a friend of mine who lives in a town so small they don't have mail delivery. Everybody there has a post office box.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, and they don't believe there's little tiny towns like that in California. I said, oh, yes, there are.
Great. I think there ought to be. I miss that. You know, I think the nicest thing that the post office did this year was open on, you know, mail delivery on Sunday for the holidays. I thought that was cool of them. You know, bring it back to the old school in some level. Although I would not want to have to go to the post office just for my mail. I like getting my mail to me, you know.
Exactly. Exactly, but what I was talking about is the notion that unlike some people, okay, I don't think that Colorado consists entirely of Denver and whatever that place is where they make the Rolling Rock beer.
It must be Vail or something like that. Let me ask you, by the way, we're talking with Mary Shen Barnage. She's a longtime Chicago theater critic, used to write for The Reader for many years. Now she writes for Windy City Times, a bunch of other places. And got to ask you, I don't get to, but you get to see dozens and dozens of shows a year where you live. What were like the two or three best plays or musicals that you saw in Chicago this past year?
There was a glass menagerie in a tiny loft in the game near my house that was a... It was different than any glass menagerie I had ever seen, and I have been seeing glass menageries for 50 years, if you count high school.
So this was a Formica menagerie? How was it different?
For one thing, Tom Wingfield is probably homeless.
Oh.
And the whole thing is taking place in his memory, and you walk into the theater, and there is glass everywhere. Bottles, flasks, vases, decanters.
Okay.
Okay, and it looks like the inside of a church. Okay, well, that was absolutely transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, other outstanding plays. It's kind of hard to remember. As you know, I see anywhere from 2 to 8 plays a week.
You still go to 2 to 8?
The time of year.
That's wonderful. I mean, I was doing that when I was in my 30s, going to literally 8 or 10 plays a week sometimes with matinee days and things like that. The fact that you are still doing it year after year. Are you on the Jeff Committee? Are you still on any of the awards committees out there?
Okay. Oh, no. Okay. If I was on the Jeff Committee, I wouldn't be able to review plays. The people on the Jeff Committee work for free. I can't afford to do that. the point, though, Davey, is that back then, and for me, still now, I live in a place where you can see 8 plays a week.
Well, yeah,
Jonathan
thank God.
Says in a season in Chicago, there are 800 plays produced.
That's amazing.
That means I could see 2 plays a day, every day of the year.
And still not see everything, which is why Chicago... People don't realize this, but Chicago has a reputation for having even more shows than New York does. It's possible.
And better ones, too.
Well, all right. Ooh, row. Joyce is taking
Davey,
a clause.
We've been arguing about this since 1990.
Well, you'll be happy to know that coming up on my regular show, Dave's Gone By, speaking of Chicago theater, in a couple of weeks I'm going to have Greg Kogas as... my guest. He is the writer, the book writer for Urinetown, but I first saw him thanks to you two decades ago in Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind. He was one of the original neo-futurists. And that was a life-changing experience that I owe to Mary Sheng for taking me to a show at 11 o'clock at night. I was jet-lagged. I was exhausted. I was like, 11 o'clock at night. And then, you know, never been the same since that show.
Okay, very few people have. And by the way, it's still running.
Oh, it's running in New York. They have a New York contingent, too. Joyce wants to... Joyce, tell the story. No, come on, tell the story. No, I dragged Joyce to it when we were still dating, or I think we were newly married, when they were doing it in New York. I said, you've got to see it. It's too much. You have to see it. What? You did? Wait, get on the mic, hon. Well, anyway, first of all, why don't you, Mary Sheng, explain what Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind is for our listeners, and then I'll tell the story.
Okay. What the play is 32-minute plays done in an hour. The different plays are assigned numbers, and the numbers are hung up on a clothesline, and the audience calls out the number of the play that they want to see.
Right. And when you say, is that 32?
An idea is to do all 30 plays in 60 minutes.
And if they do it, you get pizza. And if they don't, well, they don't. And sometimes they'll even stop the thing and say, hey, do you want to see the 2 plays we can get to do? And everybody will say, yeah, and get to see all 30 anyway. But it's a very exciting, visceral, anything can happen, fun. Not every play is genius, not every play is wonderful, but even the rotten plays are only a minute and a half long, and then you're on to the next one. It's a wonderful, it was so new and so exciting in so many ways, and so different from everything that I had seen in the theater up until that point. So I brought Joyce to see Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind to explain to her why I found it so exciting. And just my luck, They're doing one of the plays, one of their little playlets, involved one of the young actresses who was really, really cute in the show. And she was blonde. Was she blonde? I don't even remember that. She was blonde. She was tiny. She probably weighed like 100 pounds, soaking wet. Little one. And anyway, this particular play called for her to sit on the lap of an audience member. Will you tell the story, hon? Because I don't remember it as well as you do. You obviously have a better... All right. Anywho, so I'm sitting there, and I have this adorable little actress, like, on my lap, stroking my hair, and I'm like, I have to make believe I'm not enjoying it. Because, of course, my girlfriend is sitting next to me, and I'm looking over at her and going, no, this is terrible. This is an awful thing. I'm not enjoying this one bit. And meanwhile, I'm like, please, please, God, don't give me a boner. Please don't give me a boner. Please. Yeah, one of my more embarrassing moments in the theater. And then Joyce will never let me live it down. Because, of course, I had to be sitting on the aisle. She had to go right to me. I don't know if they knew I was a critic when they did it. Possibly they did. But you did say, when I asked you, hon, that you loved the show. I didn't realize that. Will you get on the mic, please?
Mary's on the mic.
She's on. You've got two mics pointing at the phone. And then no mic pointing at you. Get to one of those microphones.
Mary, I did really like it. I like live stuff. I do. I really did enjoy it, except I didn't like the straddling part.
Well,
remember that there was that instance where it was cats, where someone actually sued someone for frauding them. One of the cats frauded an audience member.
Yeah.
I think it probably was the same teeny girl that frauded you. And I think they knew you were a critic because they sat you there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
so
they sat you there.
Yeah. And I paid them a good tip for...
Well, Joyce, okay, do you remember the musical review... where you and me and my friend Martha deliberately put Davy in the corner, where the singers would be playing right at him.
What review was that?
The musical review about the two French singers.
Yes.
Oh, forgive me, but that's not...
I remember we had pizza that day. I had one of the best pizzas that time. It was phenomenal. I remember your house was very cute.
Yeah.
I liked your decoration in your house. I thought it was very nice. And I remember the pizza was very nice. And your friend was lovely. She was a very nice lady.
How is she doing, by the way?
Okay. Oh, she's doing fine.
Doing good.
Okay, she's currently making her, when people ask her how she makes a living, she says she does it by taking off her clothes. Okay, and actually she's part of a program to test medical students where she pretends to be a patient to make sure they ask the right questions.
Nice. Do they actually poke her and give her any, drugs or needles, or it doesn't go there? They just take her blood pressure?
They interview her in the office, and she recites the symptoms. Okay, essentially, it's acting. She's given a character and a script.
Wow.
And the medical students are supposed to, from the information that she gives them, ask questions to figure out what the matter is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a pretty cool. I should do that.
Yeah, I know people who do that too. It's a fun. It's fun.
Rabbi Saul did that and goes to people just to have his prostate checked like six times a day. It's a special test because he's never tried. He figures one of them will find what's wrong with his prostate.
Mm.
That's what's going to happen. So Mary, give us one more show that you really loved last year.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to describe them all. But currently playing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, my memory only goes back a few weeks.
I know the feeling. It's true.
Okay, but currently playing the Shaughnessy Theatre Company, an Irish-based company. Is doing Connor McPherson's The Seafarer.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in this tiny little loft. Let me tell you something about the space that they're doing it in.
Okay.
Way back in the 1970s, the Wicker Park neighborhood in Chicago was nobody lived there except artists and crooks. And I recall going to an art gallery once that was on the third floor of a building. And the way you got into the building is you stood there on the sidewalk and you beat on the door and shouted, "Finn, Connie!" That would set the dogs to barking on the second floor. A window would open on the third floor, and Finn or Connie would run a key down on a string.
Oh, my.
You would take the key, open the door. They would pull the key back up, and you would go in the door and go up the three flights of stairs to the third floor. That way, nobody had to be running up and down the stairs.
Wow.
Okay, some 30 years later, a theater has, there's still a furniture store on the first floor that just closed, but I'll get to that in a moment. The second floor and the third floor, they now house four different theaters, okay, and a huge spacious lobby with a bar and a piano, and frequently a piano player in it.
All right.
And it's called The Den.
Then?
That's the Den.
The Den. Okay. So it's still very Chicago.
D-E-N.
I'm sorry. I thought you said The Den, which would be very... Let me ask you, Mary, can I ask...
Yes.
You have now seen, as you have said, 2 to 8 shows a week, every week, for, what, 30 years now?
25 years.
Yeah. When are you going to write a book?
When I have time and don't have to be hustling for money.
Well, I mean, but even if it were compiling or taking all the work that you've done instead of having to write a book from scratch, even, but the fact that you've been there from this transition era of Chicago theater from really the 1970s through now. I don't know. I think you have something to contribute. Maybe it's in my mind because I just saw this documentary on TV about the early years of San Francisco theater. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really great to watch and saw some people actually knew. Somebody got to do that for Chicago theater, if not a documentary, then on paper or a blog.
Well, some people have. When Richard Christensen retired, he wrote a very good book on the history of the off-loop movement called A Theater of Our Own. And just recently, Chris Jones, who replaced him at the Tribune, has written a book that's sort of a history of Chicago theater reviews going all the way back to Joseph Jefferson.
Nice.
And it's called, I'm reaching for it right now. Okay, it's called Bigger, Brighter, Louder, 150 Years of Chicago Theater. It's got reviews of Joseph Jefferson and Rip Van Winkle, and it comes all the way up to August Osage County.
So wait, is this a compendium? Is it he's the editor of a volume of other people's reviews, or is it a critical history of review of Chicago theater?
It is a compendium of other people's reviews. Lots of Claudia Cassidy.
Okay.
But he also offers commentary, so there's annotations to it. Okay, it just came out, University of Chicago Press, I think, just came out this year, and I told all of my friends that even if they have to chip in together, it's what I want for Christmas.
Well, you deserve it, Mayor. You really, really, for everything that you have given to Chicago theater and therefore the world of theater through your writing and through just caring so much about what they're doing and that there is life, much, much life, outside of New York and Los Angeles. And Chicago is like the real other hub for theater in America.
Thank Mary for the penguins.
Get on the mic, Mary.
Mary, thank you for the penguins, too.
You are very, very welcome. Okay, going back to what Davey just said. Okay, I can remember. Okay, one of the first conversations we ever had at a critics conference.
Yeah.
You said all I know about Chicago theater is that all these wonderful plays come from there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty nice... Mary, I thought you were going to shame me.
He was probably trying to pick you up, Mary. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, back then, I was...
Okay, no, Joyce, it was worse than that. He was trying to get me to write for free.
Ah! best thing I had this month on stage.
And not get paid.
Yeah. Sorry, Mayor. And I still would. Anytime you want to send me, except I pay now. Now I pay $40.
Okay, besides, Davey. Okay, I think I once asked you. If your mother would think there was any hanky panky going on, if you were staying over at my house when you were in Chicago, and you said no, there couldn't be, Mary. You're not Jewish.
I don't remember that, but thank you for sharing that.
So you see, Davey, it all worked out for the best for both of us.
Well, it did indeed. I did.
David has a very good swagger with the ladies, Mary.
Yeah, he's got swagger. Yeah, as if.
Okay. Oh, I saw it in action. I took him to a couple of poetry events where he got hugged by a poet named Kathleen Chandelmeyer, who's about 6'5".
I'm trying to remember.
I think you still have some injuries from that occurrence, Mary.
That's right. I'm a little fat. Now, that was where my second hernia came from. Well, Mary, all I can do is wish you a very, very extremely happy and healthy new year.
Yes.
Thank you for being a friend for all these years. Wish I'd seen you more over the years. Our paths, I didn't get to Chicago this last time. Are you going to go to Louisville with the American Theater Critics?
Nowadays, the other theater critics at Windy City Times, Scott Morgan and Jonathan Abarbanel, do all the traveling, and I'm the one that stays home and writes for all three of them.
Right. Okay.
Which is why I worked straight through the holidays this year, and I'm staying out of the snow tonight and talking to you.
Well, yeah. Well, and it's almost you've already had. You have spent literally the turning of the hour with us. It's already 2014 where you are.
Wow.
So
it's 25 after 12 here, and nobody shot guns into the air.
Oh, that's a Mississippi New Year. That's like a Chicago New Year. Or is it a Chicago New Year? I don't want to know. But
they probably still did it down in Pilsen.
Or in Cabrini Green or something like that. But maybe people will have...
There ain't no more Cabrini Green. All that's been torn down.
Wow.
Gentrifying Chicago.
That's a nice neighborhood now.
Wow. Well, yeah, everything goes in cycles.
You should visit, David.
I would love to go back to Chicago. Wouldn't you love to go back to Chicago?
Yes.
If we go back to Chicago, would you put us up?
Nowadays my house looks like a cross between a used bookstore, a UPS station, and a shipwreck in Port Said. But I can't tell you where the cheap hotels are.
Okay, where they're not shooting guns into the air, preferably.
Okay, certainly not.
Well.
And you can ignore room service and eat at the deli across the street.
That sounds fair. That's the deal. If we can get out there, because we'd love to see you, and I would certainly love to see more Chicago theater again.
Yeah.
And if I can't, I will read Mary Sheng Barnage's reviews at Windy City Times. Where else? Remind us.
You can see my feature stories at theaterinchicago.com.
Theaterinchicago.com.
Where I interview the actor playing the bear at Chicago Shakespeare or the dog wrangler for the current production of Merry Wives of Windsor has three dogs in it.
I wanted to be the dog wrangler for Merry Wives of Windsor and the wife wrangler, but mainly the dog wrangler. Well, somebody else got that. Mary, happy.
You can also read my stuff at the website actionquarterly.com.
Right, actionquarterly.com. And that's especially about if people are interested in combat and fighting on stage and how that's all choreographed and kept really safe and beautiful in a way. So thank you, Mary. Thank you. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for calling in. And, I only hope... all the rest of the half hours of 2014 have been as fun as this one has been.
Okay, then. Okay, happy new year to all of you out there where you're probably getting more snow than we are, but hey, you're used to it.
Happy new year, Mary. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
All right,
now.
Then.